Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him as well. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he woke up and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to the disciples, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And the disciples were filled with great awe, and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, if you've been with us for the past few weeks, you'll know that we've been in this series of exploring and studying Mark's gospel. And today is the halfway point of this 8-week study that we're in the midst of. And we're kind of picking up chronologically where we left off last week. This was just after Jesus gave two final parables, one about spreading seeds, and the other about an out-of-control mustard weed. And it was just then, after sharing those parables and teachings, that today's gospel begins. As evening was falling, on that same day, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And so, the text tells us that Jesus and the disciples, they got in the boat, and they headed across the sea. And there were some other boats that were around as well. And as they moved along the sea, suddenly a big storm arose, and the boats started shaking. The wind picked up. White caps surrounded the boat. And even as the boat began filling with water, Jesus was asleep on a pillow, perhaps being rocked by the waves like a newborn child. And the disciples woke Jesus, saying, "What the heck, Jesus? Do you not get that we are about to die?" And Jesus spoke, the seas calmed, and he asked why they were so afraid. And the disciples were in awe of Jesus and murmured among themselves about his power. All right, so I'm wondering, before we read the actual scripture and I retold it, who had heard of this story before? Yeah, pretty popular one, right? It's the subject also of the famous Rembrandt painting that was stolen in Boston as a part of the largest art heist in history, right? So maybe you've seen that in some of the documentaries about it. It's also kind of similar to some of the other stories that we have in Mark's gospel, where Jesus walks on water and gets in a boat amid yet another storm. But the thing is not just this story and that other story about Jesus walking on the water, but there are also other stormy stories in our Judeo-Christian scriptures. I mean, think of the water and the storms and the whirlwinds at creation, or with Noah and the ark, or how about parting the Red Sea, or even Jonah and that really, really big fish. You see, throughout the scriptures, all of these are reminders that God can control the wind and the waves, that God can overcome storms. But so too, if we look even a little bit closer at today's text, we'll see that Jesus was not only revealing to the disciples his power over actual storms, but that he was also opening their minds to understand what it's like to calm the storms of chaos within ourselves and our lives. Now remember, Jesus wanted to get in the boat and go to the other side. That's a really important statement. It's something that the early readers would have known and understood. And so it's going to require us here in the United States to do a little thinking and a little digging into this passage. You see, most of the time in the scriptures, when they start talking about geography of where Jesus is going or where the disciples are going, these kind of things matter. It's not just throwaway statements to say, in a far-off land, in a distant place, but rather, this is telling us something about what is going to happen. And so here, we find that Jesus and the disciples are going from the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, which was Jewish, to the western side of the Sea of Galilee, which was Gentile, or not Jewish. They're going from the familiar place to the foreign. They're leaving their home field advantage for a brand new ballpark. And with that piece of information in mind, knowing that they're going from the familiar to something foreign, it's hard for me not to imagine the storms that were brewing within the disciples' minds. I mean, I'd have to say, if I were one of the disciples, I'd probably wonder about what going from that part of being in the Jewish majority to a religious minority, what that might be like. I'd wonder, will they speak the same language in this new place that I'm going? I'd wonder how I might be treated, how I might be received. And knowing myself, I'd probably begin thinking about all of the worst possible situations, all of the things that can go wrong. And I might just get myself spinning down in a mental spiral that I could not crawl out of. And like a cold front moving through on a humid summer day, the storm inside my head might grow and grow and grow until it had taken over and completely and utterly paralyzed me. And as I began to check out my fears with others on the boat, it's likely that they might feel the same, or at least this massive storm in my head might continually try to convince them of the absolute worst-case scenarios. And before you know it, the whole ship is thinking the same thing. What in the heck are we doing? Why are we going to this new place? Why not stay in the comfortable? And once all of the people in this boat who are already awake, once they were all scared out of their minds, there would only be one person left to ask, and that is Jesus. So in the attempt for this storm in my head to be completely drowned and sink the entire ship of what is going on, I'd say, Jesus, wake up. This idea is stupid. Do you think going into this new place is going to be something good? No, it's going to ruin us. We are going to die. Don't you think there are enough problems here at home? Stay home. Stay in our country. Work on things about our people, about our nation, about our own interests. Don't care about the other people. We need to stay here, Jesus. We've got enough problems at home. And it is at that point in the story, after the great windstorm arose, that Jesus woke up. Or to translate it a little more literally from the Greek, when a mega storm took over, Jesus was resurrected. And Jesus said, peace, be still. And then a mega calm washed over everyone and everything. And a mega awe fell over all of those who were gathered. And that's when the disciples took out their camera, took a picture of it, and tagged WPLC awe. Just kidding, but we saw that word there, right? Was I not the only one who noticed? Okay. Well, you see, as Dr. David Loos puts it, the problem with the disciples here was not that they were fearful, but rather that it was that they were paralyzed by fear. But here's the key. Fear is not the opposite of faith. Despite what some preachers were spewing during the pandemic, you see, as Anne Lamott, quoting Paul Tillich, puts it, the opposite of faith is certainty. And fear can make it difficult then to access our faith and to live like Jesus, working for justice and peace and love in all the world. You see, in our fearful state, we so often want to make things black and white, good and bad, right and wrong. But you see, the world that our God has created is not like that. In fact, our God is even not like that. For the essence of mercy in and of itself is to step into and embrace the gray. And while the disciples were in that fearful state, saying that everything in this new land is going to be terrible, and that the unknown is completely horrible, and that there is nothing that we should do to leave our comfortable state, well, I imagine Jesus' statement, "Peace, be still," continued with something like this. Yes, in that unknown foreign land, there will be difficulties. There will be troubles. But there will also be incredible gifts and opportunities. There will be resurrection and new life in our work. And why I think he said that is because of what will come in the next few chapters. You see, if we keep reading on, we'll know that Jesus will get onto that land, and he will be coming across a man who is filled with demons. He will dismiss the demons. He will send them into pigs, and those pigs will go running into the sea. And after Jesus does that, they will not be happy. There is their income. There is their industry ruined in the sea, and they will run Jesus out of town. But the thing is, and that's in Mark 5, you can read it there. After some time, Jesus will go back, he'll do some more healings and stuff like that back home, and then he'll go and venture across the sea yet again. And at that point, they will recognize Jesus. They will bring their sick to him. They will come running and they will notice that Jesus can bring an abundance of life that nothing else can. You see, today's reading is reminding us that walking with Jesus does not assure smooth sailing. However, what we know is that God will be with us throughout the chaos, reminding us of God's presence and challenging us to take off those black and white glasses, to see the world with grayish lenses of grace and mercy. And because I'm trying to stick to about an hour for our service during summer, I'm going to wrap it up here. But it still gets me wondering. I wonder how this text is challenging you and me and us as the church to see things differently. Is the chaos of the Capitol campaign and the unknown of what is ahead, is that causing us to see black and white instead of possibilities and both and? Are political candidates and political parties on all sides using fear to lure us into the cognitive distortion of that all or nothing thinking that then becomes so difficult for us to trust in God's provisions and God's presence? Are we overcome by the chaos of the unknowns of life, so much so that we are taking on water and drowning like the disciples? In all of that, with all of that, God is calling and saying, "Beloved, peace, be still. For remember that God is in the boat with you. For you are a beloved child of God. Sail, my child. Sail into the unknown waters, seeking justice and peace and love, hearing God's refrain. Peace. Be still. Amen.